John chapter 13, verse 1 through 17, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV this morning. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but it is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So we'll be spending all our time today working through this passage, verse by verse. So let's start with verse 1. It was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's ESV. Another version reads this way. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So I was interested in seeing how the Greek worded the final part of this verse. Love them to the end, or showed the full extent of his love. I was interested in that. Those two seemed rather different to me, and so I found that the word translated end here in the Greek is telos. And when used in Greek literature, this word is often includes the idea of summation or culmination, or as we read, full extent of, rather than a completion of time. Hope you're following me on that. So it means not just love to the end. It means more than just simply love them until the day he died. It means love them to the end, means love them completely, fulfilled his love for them. Isn't it interesting? I find it very interesting that John uses that word, that phrase, here, at this moment. Why would God inspire John to do that? Surely the description of the crucifixion is a more apt place for John to say, show them the full extent of his love. Surely the cross is the culmination of the love of Christ. In the cross, the love of God for us is manifest. The cross draws us to God. The sacrifice and the amazing, unexplainable love shown on the cross remakes us. But my friends, God inspired John as he wrote to use this Greek phrase to the end, to the full extent of here, in this passage. So with that in mind, let's pay very close attention to what Jesus does here. Moving on to verse 2. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So what's going on there? Jesus knows the hearts and minds of those who come to him. Amen. We see that throughout the scripture. The gospel accounts list numerous times when Jesus looked upon someone and knew them, or knew their minds as he spoke to them and as they spoke to him. Jesus knew Judas. He knew what Judas intended to do. Let's get something straight here. Jesus and Judas were not in some secret pact to get Jesus to the cross, like the heretical book of Judas or Gospel of Judas says. They weren't in some kind of secret, top secret pact that only Judas and Jesus knew. The cross was the will and plan of God. But let's not forget Gethsemane, where our Lord cried, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." Jesus became obedient to death on the cross. He did not desire death on a cross. And the betrayal of Judas was the betrayal of a close friend and confidant. He knew what Judas was going to do, but they weren't in cahoots. One of the men Jesus felt closest to. For 3 years he traveled with, lived with, ate with, wept with, talked with these men every day. Every day. He knew Judas. He knew what Judas was going to do. And though he knew his father's will would lead him to the cross, that betrayal had to wound him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God. Let me read that again. Jesus, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. Make no mistake, Jesus knew who Judas was, but he also knew who he was. Jesus knew not only his disciples, he knew himself. He knew exactly who he was. He knew he was Lord of all. He knew he had the power of heaven at his disposal. He knows that he is King. That's right. Knowing there is none like him, he is highest, he is greatest, he is God the Son. He is fully aware that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega. So with this knowledge, knowing this fully, what does he do? Verse 4 and 5. He rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let's recall verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to completion. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed the full extent of his love. He washed their feet. One of the dirtiest jobs of that time. Before sidewalks and paved roads, before the clean, relatively sanitary walkways of modern day, only the lowest servants of a household washed feet. But Jesus knew who he was, and he loved these men. He served them, he washed their feet. Let's not miss this. He washed Judas's feet. Judas hadn't left yet. He was still there with them. Jesus washed his betrayer's feet, knowing of the coming betrayal. How do we treat those who hurt us? How do we treat friends that betray us? Jesus washes his feet. He fulfilled his own command and loved not only those who loved him, he loved his enemy as well. We are all his enemies at one time. He loves us while we are still his enemies. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter who said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" You have to love Peter. He says what everyone else is thinking. No filter, Peter. The disciples see what Jesus is doing and are scandalized. They're scandalized. And Peter, who takes up the sword for Jesus, who walks on water with Jesus, Peter, who denies the identity of Jesus, Peter, who declares the identity of Jesus, and Peter, who later in the same evening denies Jesus, Peter recoils at the thought of his Lord washing his feet. I'm reminded of John the Baptist when Jesus came to him. John said, I should be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. And Peter's got to be thinking the same thing. Lord, I should be washing your feet. Verse 7, Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Peter does what we all do. We try and fit our Lord into our own understanding. We try to limit his impact on our life to what is comfortable, what we think is fitting, what we are willing to let him have. But whether we keep him at a distance through sinful choices we don't want him to impact, or we keep him at a distance out of respect and reverence, the result is the same. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. I'm not interested in just your Sunday best, Peter. I want the dirty. I want the grimy. I want the filthy parts of your life. I want the parts you are ashamed to show. I want the moments no one knows about. I want it all. Simon Peter said to him, I love Peter. Simon says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed did not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. Verse 11, for he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, not all of you are clean. Again, John reiterates that Judas is there too. It's as if John wants us to remember. Judas is here. Jesus washed Judas' feet. Take note. Judas has his feet washed too. And Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. It seems to me that all this has been written on purpose. Sure. Do you have a Judas in your life? Have you been a Judas? When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. He served, teacher, master, Lord, King, Savior, God. Served at the lowliest of tasks. Did what perhaps none of the disciples would have lowered themselves to do. With no thought of fairness, with no thought of whose place it was to serve, with no thought of teaching responsibility. That last one gets me. Jesus served. Speaking of teaching responsibility, I can't let that guy pass me in traffic. He will never learn to drive responsibly if I don't cut him off. I'm really guilty of that. The teens can attest that I'm not the greatest driver. It's not that I'm bad, I'm just New Yorkin. So there's the lady that we drove with in New York that took us around the city, and her husband was the leader. She had this saying when I was behind the wheel, Brian, you gotta crucify that. Uh-huh. What do you say to that? All right. Okay. So we go again about teaching responsibility. I can't clean up this mess that someone else left. I need to make them do it, or they will never learn. Isaac. Teens. I can't give money to that homeless person. They need to earn it. How do I know they won't spend it poorly? Have you ever noticed that our Lord never served that way? Could you imagine if he did? Sorry, blind man. I would restore your sight, but I don't know what you're going to look at. You might see some nasty things. Sorry, deaf person, I would give you back your hearing, but there may be some foul-mouthed people in your future. And I don't want you to hear that. Sorry, crippled man, but if I healed you, your legs might take you somewhere dangerous or unrighteous. Sorry, Peter, you shouldn't have looked at the waves. I'm just going to let you sink. Sorry, Lazarus, you got an odor problem. Sorry, everyone. He never served that way. He who had the most reason not to serve, it is he who shows us what real service is. Service is love, and love is service. There is no job too menial when you love someone. Parents, toddlers, snotty noses, and messy bottoms come to mind. Don't worry, Isaac. Maybe someday you'll return the favor. No task is too menial. No task is below us. You hear me on that? There is no menial tasks in the kingdom. No task is below us. Every service is an opportunity to show the love of God to those around us, whether they are watching or not. The world lies to us, and their lies spill into the church. Find a place where you can be pampered and spoiled. You deserve it. With everything you have to put up with, you deserve a break today. You deserve to be blessed. Watch out for number one. Look out for your own heart, your own spirit, your own energy. The world tells us we matter too much to serve. Indulge yourself. Care for yourself. Defend yourself. Jesus tells us in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he will deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 16 of our chapter today. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Yes. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed the full extent of his love. He served. Teacher, master, Lord, King, God. Served. Served at the lowliest of tasks. Did what perhaps none of the disciples would have lowered themselves to do. Served. Served. Let's look at our final verse here. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. We've read it already, but I want to read it again. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you. He is our example. He loved to the fullest extent. He loved to the end. He loved by his life. He loved by serving. We are the servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who served us. Perhaps that is part of what it means to be co-heirs with Christ. We inherit not only His Spirit, but also His servanthood. We inherit His love. Loving and serving not only those who deserve it, but also those who would love us, hate us, betray us. Loving and serving those who distract us, who annoy us, who dirty our carpets, who dent our walls, who misuse us, who neglect us, who forget us, who don't seem to appreciate us. Serving them. Sometimes that seems a lot harder than loving them, doesn't it? Oh, sure, I care about them, but I am not cleaning up after them again. Sure, I love them, but if they're not going to be cordial to me, I am not going out of my way to be kind to them either. Sure, I love them, but I am just too busy, too tired, too stressed, too preoccupied. Yeah, their feet are messy, mine are messy too, but someone else will get to it. Someone else will wash the feet. I've done my part. Let someone else serve. Someone else did. He got up from where he was at dinner, came down from where he was in heaven, and he deserves all our service, and yet he served us. Check out verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, this message may seem to be one of exhortation, and it is. But it's also a message of blessing. Don't miss that. If you have felt a bit guilty hearing some of this, you are not alone. I struggle with this every day. Every moment of every day. Don't be afraid of conviction. Don't run from it. God is other. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And when He speaks the truth into our lives, it is often uncomfortable. Never make the mistake of just because it feels uncomfortable is not of God. That is a lie from the pit. We just saw that Peter was uncomfortable. He was uncomfortable with what Jesus was doing. It will often be the same for us when we hear from God. Scripture says that God is the God of all comfort. It does not say He is the God of the comfortable. Indeed, God is calling His church out of the comfortable and into a life that is so much better than what is comfortable. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Our God calls to us, holding out the way of blessing to us. Are you tired? Has this world worn you out? Are your feet worn, weary, dirty? Be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world, and He calls to me and to you and to all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. What is His way of blessing? What is His way to rest? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. What is His way to blessing? What is His way to rest? And taking a towel, He tied it around His waist. And then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them. For I have given you an example, He says, that you also should do just as I have done for you. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. What is His way to blessing? What is His way to rest? Nails and a towel. This is how we are blessed. This isn't about giving and serving. It isn't purely about giving or serving. It is in giving and serving that we receive. It is in blessing that we are blessed. In blessing others that we in turn are blessed. This is how we grow. This is how we heal. This is how we truly experience life. This is how we truly live. This is how we love. Skipping down to verse 34 and 35, Jesus says this, "A new command I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Our Lord is not only our example, He is the means by which we can obey, by which we can serve, by which we can love. We don't have to knuckle down and grit our teeth and try real hard to live for Him and love. When we feel we have nothing left. Because it's not about our effort. Life and love is about letting go of me, letting go of self, indeed dying to self, and letting Him do the living, letting Him do the serving, letting Him do the loving through us. So whether you have never tried to serve, or you have worn yourself out serving, or somewhere in between, the way of blessing is clear. The way of life and love is Jesus. He says, "I am the way."